Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Howard Rosenberg, former Washoe County School Board member, plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Cheryl Blomstrom, Ernie Adler, and Ben Botkin. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome Howard Rosenberg back to the program. He has so many titles, but one of the ones we're going to use today, and the polite ones, is a former member of the Washoe County School Board. Pleasure to have you on the program, Howard.
Thank you.
Okay, so it is revealed this week that there is a $40 million deficit in the budget. Now, this is at the same time that a bond was being raised to pay for renewal and new buildings, et cetera. Did nobody know this?
I didn't, Sam, and I should have.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I had no idea. I knew that we were always skating on the edge. In education, you do. But every time there was a report that, you know, had come through, this was doing this what, and this was taking care of this, and everything seemed to be more or less, you know, under control. What I just can't get my head around is we got what we wanted, and now we can build new schools. But if we don't have any teachers to put in the new schools, what good is that? And I think everybody has to understand that that money that we did get is only for building schools or repairing schools. You can't use it for personnel. So that means that that money for personnel has to come from someplace else.
All right. So, and I don't want to blame people. I just want to see if I can figure out with you what happened, what we should be doing about it, and how we prevent this in the future. So is this where the superintendent would know about this? The chief financial officer obviously would know about this. Who is responsible for bringing that information to the board and ergo to the public?
Ultimately, it's the superintendent's responsibility. She is the liaison to the board. And I would have expected that there would have been at least some warning of it. What really disturbs me, and I'd like to make this very clear, it is not the new members of the board's fault. If anybody's fault, it's my fault. I was there for 4 years and had no inkling, and I should have had. But I just didn't know where to look at the time that I needed to look there. And that can be very, very difficult.
Beyond the superintendent, who else would be responsible for bringing that information to the board?
Chief financial officer and the budget people.
Realistically, as you look at it today, is this a firing offense? Is this a sin of omission. I mean, the community has been in turmoil, as you well know, for your entire time on the board, with the changeover in superintendents and pressure from some people in the business community, the Reno Gazette Journal, all attacking the school board, attacking the credibility. The bond was miraculously passed.
You have made a very important statement. Attacking. That does nobody any good at all. You want to know something? Ask me a question. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. And many times, not knowing the answer begins to point us in directions that we hadn't thought to look before. Sam, I can walk into a classroom and I'm a good teacher. I'm not the best teacher in the entire world, but I'm a good teacher. I'm a strong teacher. I make sure that my kids have what they need to go on. But where money is concerned and how you finance things like that, I'm not particularly good at it. I'm really not, and I should be much better. I think all of us need to look very carefully at what it is that's going on. We know now that there is a problem. Blaming doesn't do anybody any good. Who cares? How do we take care of the problem? Are there people that need to be held to account? If indeed they do need to be held to account, does that require firing? I don't know. I'm not there. For me, it would be much wiser if the superintendent and the chief financial officer sat down with the board in an open meeting, right underneath the open meeting law and everything else, and had a group of people come in and ask questions and answer the questions, not with a 3-minute time limit to, you know, to satisfy this, that, or the other thing, but to actually talk to the public. We are responsible to the public. Answer the questions. And 9 times out of 10, they may not have an answer, but it may give them a place to look where we hadn't looked before.
So with a $40 million deficit, I mean, that's an incredible amount of money.
Yes.
And obviously that's going to be an ongoing situation. It's not going to get better because there is not another stream of revenue to come to the school board. And the point I was trying to make earlier was that where credibility was lacking previously, you have a new board, but now the public is going to look at this and go, superintendent, school board, lack of credibility, why should we give them more money?
Instead of going through that, understand that the money does not go to individual people on the board. It goes to our students. Now, what we have to figure out is, why is there a deficit? Where did it come from? And that I'm quite sure they know. Once they know that, is it someone's fault? And if indeed it is someone's fault, fine. Then you can at least assign that level of blame. But don't go out trying to kill anybody. It does no one any good. If that person who is responsible didn't notice something that they should have, fine. How do we get around where we are? What do we need to do? And don't do it with a hatchet. Do it with a little bit of kindness. It can work. You know what your mother used to tell you? You get more with honey than you do with vinegar.
Yes, although I'm not sure you always pursued that route.
I haven't, but my mother didn't say that to me.
$40 million. Where do you think that money is going to come from? Because otherwise it is going to be incredibly detrimental to the education of Washoe County school children.
For me, it is very simple. If something needs to be cut, the last thing you cut is teachers. Anything else can be cut. But teachers and custodians, the people that keep our buildings running, those are left alone. You cut other places. And there are any number of places that can be cut, I'm sure, if we begin looking at them.
Can you give us any examples? I mean, would you look at the administration and say the administration is top heavy?
I wouldn't say the administration is necessarily top heavy. I would say that there are those in administration that do certain functions that might be able to be doubled up. And I think that there are things, Sam, when you're talking about people's lives, you don't want to just say, well, cut here, cut there, and cut every place else. You can't do that. Is there a way that we can begin to draw back on certain things that have been helpful, but we could get along without to get us through this particular part? Sam, you know how I handle money. It's very simple. I get it and spend it. End of discussion. If there should be a major emergency tomorrow, I don't know what I'd do. And I don't think that is me alone. I think it's most all of us. We tend to live from paycheck to paycheck and try to put a little bit away. In a school district that has been run on a business model, it can be many times detrimental to what it is that we're actually trying to do. We're not stamping out light bulbs, so that there are so many different ways of doing things that can be helpful, very helpful. Hiring new teachers. There's only one person in the world that should be interviewing new teachers. That's the principal of the school that new teacher is going to work in. I don't understand having 9,000 other people in interviewing people and, you know, making up lists. And then you have these lists, and now we don't have any money. I'm going to build a new school. That's wonderful. Who's going to teach in the new school? We don't have any money. All right, so we can get some retired people, like me, soon, and I'll volunteer. That's not going to help matters over a long period of time. This is something that has come to hit us square in the nose. And now what we need to do is plan not just how to get around this, but what do we do from here on?
More with Howard Rosenberg when we come back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Howard Rosenberg. He's the former Washoe County School Board member. Let's talk about ESAs. The governor put a bunch of money into the budget for educational savings account. The treasurer said it wasn't enough, but it seems like they're getting to be more on the same page. What are your thoughts on ESAs?
Sam, I wish that I could give you a really intelligent answer. I am a proponent of public schools. Charter schools are fine. I don't say no. And private schools are fine. I don't say what. I went to parochial school for 2 years. They taught me how to read. I'll never forget Sister Mary Catherine. I have bruises that will remind me of her until the day I die. By the same token, one of the things that has built America is a strong public school system where all of us learn much the same kinds of things, maybe in different ways. But this business of my paying taxes so that your son can go to a school that isn't a public school, I'm sorry, I don't like that one bit.
Do you believe it's only for the wealthy, or do you believe that it really is for anybody who wants to go?
I believe it is for anybody who wants to go. The problem is, if everyone in the world wants to go, what are we going to do? Because the private schools, they don't have the room. The charter schools, they don't have the room to take everybody who may want to go. And every time we say this, we weaken public schools more and more. We have good teachers in public schools, damn good teachers. The worst thing that's ever happened to American education is really very simple: lawyers and parents. Lawyers who are out for a buck, and parents who don't take care of their children and raise them properly. It's not my job to raise your children. They misbehave, out the door. Come and pick them up. That's the way we handled things in New York 100 years ago, and it worked.
We got about a minute and a half left here. I wanted to ask you about the bill that's working its way through the legislature that would separate the community colleges from the two main universities. Your thoughts on that?
All you're going to do is have two boards that are fighting for a certain amount of money, instead of having one board who has everybody under their, you know, their scrutiny and knows where they need to put the best that we possibly have. We have only 8 institutions. We are not thousands and thousands of institutions. We can handle what we have. Sam, the biggest problem for me is the lack of respect there is for teachers. You know, administration is important, but it's secondary. Teaching is the most important thing, and teachers need to be respected. They need to be helped, not used as the enemy.
Okay, but just a quick answer here.
I'm not going to give you a quick answer. You know that.
Then I'll have to cut you off.
All right.
Are the community colleges getting short shrift as far as the budget goes?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. And that's where we have to leave it. Howard Rosenberg, I wish I could have got you going here today. We'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ben Botkin is here. He's the political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Ernie Adler is former state senator, and Cheryl Blomstrom is interim president for the Nevada Taxpayers Association, and we give you a very special welcome for the first time to the program. Ben, I want to start with you. The governor issued a major veto yesterday. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, well, you know, I think it's a perfect example of what we had at the beginning. He asked the Republican leadership in the minority, hey, what are the checks and balances now that you've had this power shift after the 2016 election? And they said, well, the governor has a veto ability, so this is exactly what we're seeing right now for the first time.
It's an interesting bill because it would have allowed a lot more people to be registered through the DMV. But it seemed to me that there were a lot of pitfalls when you consider that we've allowed driving licenses for aliens who are out of status so they could get insurance and other things. But that could open the door to people being registered illegally.
I think it had enough safeguards that that wasn't going to happen, but generally that type of bill is something that Republicans and Republican governors can't support, so I was not at all surprised at the veto.
How about you, Cheryl?
I was also not surprised, although I would disagree with my colleague that there were sufficient safeguards because the DMV is not allowed to ask status or report on it.
Yeah, and that's been an interesting thing over the decades, is the number of government agencies that are not allowed to talk to each other. If you go back to the Reagan administration, Social Security and the Immigration Service were not allowed to communicate with each other. So people could get Social Security cards that were out of status, and yet the IRS was not involved in that conversation.
Ironic.
Okay, so what's the biggest issue right now for the Taxpayers Association?
Taxes.
Well, yeah, I mean, the only major tax that appears to be on the table right now is the marijuana tax.
The marijuana tax is definitely on the table. Moving marijuana to a more rapid deployment is on the table. We're watching that very closely. We're watching property taxes and what might happen with creating the floor versus the ceiling.
How likely do you think that is with the Republican opposition?
It's a good question. I think...
Do you have a good answer?
I might. If it remains a two-thirds bill, then probably not, because the minority leader, in the Senate has said no way. So if he holds his caucus, then it's not going to pass the Senate. But if it's not a two-thirds and it's a simple majority, then I think that it might, because it's not exactly a tax increase.
No, it's a change in the way that the rules are set.
Right.
What are you hearing, Ben, on this? Because this is a pretty explosive issue. You know, Senator Kefauver also came out and said, you know, essentially not on my watch.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the property tax issue, I mean, Clark County has long been, you know, talked about how you have what they call a one-way ratchet where tax rates can't go back up after an economic recovery at the same rate they went back down when we're talking about the assessments. So clearly it's, you know, from certain local government standpoints, there's a desire to, you know, right side the ship as they see it.
And the way they put it, they are desperately seeking money here. Jeff Fontaine from NACO has made no bones about it.
Oh, yeah, that's certainly no secret. So it'll be an interesting conversation to see.
Ernie, how do you think the governor will deal with this? Because after the largest tax increase in history, which is what we always get when we have a tax increase in Nevada, I don't think the governor wants to see.
I don't think you'll see the governor supporting this. He's already implemented a number of taxes and gotten quite a bit of flack from this fellow Republican, so I don't see him going forward on this.
Cheryl, when it comes to the marijuana tax, it seems to me that it's a little bit like the tax on Baccarat, which we depend upon so heavily, and yet that is such an explosive tax going in either direction in terms of winnings and losses. If something were to happen with the federal government, that would take a huge chunk out of the governor's budget.
It would, in fact. Left to my own devices, I would focus that money either on one-shot appropriations or put it in the rainy day fund until it had an opportunity to develop as a revenue source, and we see what the federal government's going to do.
I've not heard anybody else saying that yet. Do you think that that's a good idea, Ernie?
Well, I think that it's preferable, but he has built it into the budget, so they really need to ramp up the recreational marijuana sales and do what they can to get those numbers up.
And Tick Sagerblum is certainly pushing to have marijuana that's recreational sold through the medicinal facilities at this point in time.
Yeah, and that's something state regulators have expressed, you know, an initial interest in seeing happen. The initial thought is that the first people to sell recreational marijuana will most likely be the people who already have the medicinal marijuana licenses because they've already gone through some of the same vetting processes and more familiar with the system right up front.
It was interesting that the liquor industry that was initially very strongly in favor of a three-tier system, when they realized the federal regulations were going to affect them as well, that they backed out of that. Does that mean that marijuana may actually be cheaper to the consumer because it doesn't have to go through a third level?
I don't think so. Based on the excise taxes and where they're being applied, there was a bill that dropped in the slew of bills that dropped Monday to move a regulation of medical marijuana to the Department of Taxation so there would be a single regulatory schema.
And does that make sense to you?
It does. I'm not sure that taxation is the appropriate place, but I think that having a single regulatory agency makes a lot of sense both for taxpayers and the tax collector.
Yeah, they're actually fairly tightly regulated right now, so we want to keep that in place, I would think.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast, Paul Eno, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. We'll see you then.